Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello.
And welcome
to Off Script.
A podcast.
We read books and watch the movie.
And tell you about it.
Yes. And this is our 50th time doing it.
But I'm Bree first.
And I'm Allie.
We're so good at 50 episodes done.
Knowing what the heck we're doing.
And also, this is our first recording that we're doing, knowing that we will officially be releasing them.
Yay!
Yeah, that's
so exciting. Yes.
You're going to get this like halfway through next season and be like, well, shit, we've already listened.
Not only have we listened to almost all of season three, we've listened to almost all of season four.
But guess what? We're excited. We've been waiting for this for so long.
Yes, we have. So
it feels good.
Yep.
What's our picture for them?
Our picture is just we're excited. We're recording and it's
gonna get released.
Woohoo. That's my picture.
I love it.
Okay.
Perfect. Let's go.
All right, let's do it. So our synopsis for Allegiant. It is set in a post-apocalyptic world in dystopian Chicago. And this
maybe restart.
Oh, just let me go.
It's not really a post-apocalyptic world. It's just Chicago.
Set in a post-apocalyptic and dystopian Chicago, the story follows Tris Prior, her boyfriend Four, and their small group of friends escaping over the wall that enclosed their city. Once outside, however, they discover new truths that will shift their alliances and introduce new threats.
Yeah.
That one was really hard because I had to figure out how to make it match the book and the movie.
Yeah, because those are like, they're just two totally different monsters, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's like the book went one way.
And the movie was like, screw you. I'll take your name. Not anything else.
I'm getting so irritating. Anyways.
Frustrating.
All right. So the author is Veronica Roth. Director, Robert Schwenke. Writer, screenplay writer, Noah Oppenheim and Adam Cooper and Bill Collage and audiobook Rita. I'm going to be British for this.
Do it.
Audiobook Rita, Emma Galvin and Aaron Stranford. That was pretty good.
Stanford?
What'd I say?
Stranford.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I think your British accent got in the way.
I think so too.
But also, how did they have three screenplay writers and they still screwed this up so bad?
That's so true. But then they had Aaron Stanford, so they had a new audiobook reader because Four has his own chapters in this book.
Yes, he does.
Oh,
interesting.
I wonder why.
No idea.
All right, so the book came out October 22nd, 2013. The movie came out March 18th, 2016, and that is a 3-year difference.
Yeah.
I had just found out I was pregnant.
Oh, funny.
Fun fact.
I was wondering what that pause was.
I know. I was like, 2016? March? Yeah. All right. So what did you do first? Did you read it or see it?
I almost said saw. What the fuck?
That was me. I saw it first. Yeah,
I read it first.
Ooh, let's see.
Yeah.
What's the
verdict
there
here?
You go.
So,
Your initial thoughts?
Yeah. So fucking stupid. They give you a book to go off of. You don't even follow the storyline of the first two movies.
No, yeah. I can't answer this one yet because it's so different. I feel like it'll give away which one I like better. And I want to keep it a surprise for you.
I know, and I'm really nervous because I made you watch the movie first. I think I know which one you'll like more.
I guess we'll see.
We're losing all of our listeners who actually like this movie.
I know.
Sorry, guys. I love this book, so.
All right. You guys, also, I'm like starting to get sick, so obviously my voice. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Drive me crazy. Anyways, sorry about that.
Do you want maybe like hot water?
That sounds disgusting.
Okay. Well, I was thinking like hot water with like lemon or honey because that helps your throat.
I know. I usually do like apple cider.
Mm-hmm. I have apple cider.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. It's time for Allie's.
Hold on.
What?
Why did we pick this book?
Gosh, I just want to do it. Why'd you pick it?
Because I freaking love this book series so much. It's honestly one of my favorite young adult series. I think it's so good. And I knew that this one specifically would probably be one of the best books for us to cover. Even though I didn't want to, I was really nervous to do this one because I just knew how different it is and how much it sucks.
Oh, okay. Alrighty. Let's do it. Allie's super fun facts over here. All right. Number one. Like many other adaptations of young adult novels like Harry Potter, Hunger Games, Twilight, they planned on splitting the last book into a series. Wait, let me try that again. They planned.
I was like, hold on.
The plan was to split the last book in the series into two films. Basically, this movie was supposed to cover the first half and then the second half, or second movie would be the second half. And it was going to be called Ascendant. So that now they're just making up movies.
Yeah. Literally, like, here you go. Especially, it blows my mind with how the movie goes.
Well, yeah, here. However, due to negative reviews and disappointing box office results, along with a TV series follow-up, they were all canceled. But the thing that confuses me is that it says the first half of this book is going to be in this movie. But they put the whole book in this movie.
Yes. That's what makes me mad. And then I was kind of sad because I was like, although I didn't really want to watch a second film of this, part of me wanted them to then be able to rectify all the things that they screwed up and fix it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, one of my favorite things about this series is the main difference here that I won't be saying until later. I just really wanted to see that happen and play out. Like,
I know.
And then
it did not.
Yeah. BS.
Stay tuned to find out what we're talking about. All right, number two. Triss's hair was supposed to be chin length in Insurgent, but it was not because she was in The Fault in Our Stars.
Mm-hmm.
So in this film, they fixed it, and it's true to the book. So not only is it automatically chin length.
Yeah, from being pixie cut.
Yeah, it's also blonde.
Mm-hmm. It's just, why didn't you give her a wig in the second one? Also, why didn't you dye her blonde? Blonde as she is in the third one, in the first one. Yeah. What? Why?
They were trying to fix one thing because they screw up so much else in their movie.
They're like, here, we'll give you one thing.
Her hair is correct now.
I promise.
Oh, gosh. This one, we actually just rewatched the movie. And so this is false. So IMDb, you failed me here.
Yeah.
The fact they gave me was, although credited,
Kenyon
Lonsdale.
Mm-hmm.
Who plays
You're stuck on his last name.
I am. Who plays Uriah has no lines. Well, that's not true. We watched it and he has at least two.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like five words total.
Yeah. And you don't see him moving his lips. So who knows?
Maybe that's why they got confused because we had captions on. So it says Uriah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why they say he has no lines.
Yeah.
All right. I won't get too upset.
Yeah.
IMDb for that one.
But also they can use subtitles.
I know, what the heck.
But yeah. Yep, agreed.
All right, number four. One of the dream sequences Marcus Eaton has involves raining ash as a reference to the Holocaust in Holocaust film Schindler's List, which is coincidental as the grandparents of Veronica Roth were actually Holocaust survivors.
That's so cool.
I know. I love that little...
I freaking love Schindler's List, too.
I've never seen it. I know. It's a book, though, right?
It is. It's on our list, and now I might do it sooner.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. Well, you're reading that one first, then.
Okay.
My mind is blown. I've seen Schindler's List, like... 6 or 7 times in my life.
Wow.
I love Schindler's List. It's sad. But because of that movie, I want to go. Schindler's grave is in. It's somewhere where you can go and visit.
Oh.
I can't remember where it's at. I guess I can Google it. Let me look so I can be accurate here. Apparently, I didn't realize this, but Oscar Schindler's grave is in Jerusalem. And people go and put rocks there all the time to like... pay tribute to him for all of the work that he did. It's just so, oh my God. And if you love Liam Neeson.
I didn't know he was in it.
He's Schindler.
Oh, I don't even know what the movie's about. I'm assuming the Holocaust.
So he was part of the Nazi party and he was a German factory owner and he hired Jews and he helped them escape.
Oh, okay.
Because he wasn't. Rafe is in it too.
Wow.
He plays the main bad guy.
Oh.
He's a huge dick. Oh my God.
Anyways.
I'm so surprised. But yeah, I've always wanted to go there. World War II is one of the wars that actually like is one of the ones that I actually wanted to learn everything about because I just always felt so bad. And so because of that, I want to go to Auschwitz and go to all those.
Yeah.
Anne Frank's house.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's cool.
But I freaking love Schindler's List. Yeah.
All right. Well, gonna watch it one day.
Sooner than I thought.
All right. So, number 5. Unlike the Divergent series, Insurgent, this installment was released in 3D. Insurgent was not. This one was. I freaking hate 3D.
And why also... was Divergent?
I don't know.
Why are they just saying that one?
I don't know. Copy and paste it. But
yeah, 3D sucks.
Yeah. Dude, mm-hmm. Remember when everything was 3D?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I love watching... What movie did I just watch? I don't even remember.
Was it Spy Kids?
No.
Oh.
But I know what you're talking about. Where it's like...
The finger.
Yeah, where it's like you're watching it and it's like... obviously they tried to make it specific 3D because yes. It's like things yes. pause and... go at the screen.
Pop out at you. Yeah.
Yes.
Or like, I think I got Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D. And that one, like, they'll stop and look at the screen because Goo's supposed to come out and spray you or something. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Cool.
Ready?
I think so.
Okay.
I thought I had more to say about the 3D thing, but.
Sounds good.
All right, let's get this done.
Okay. So.
Oh, wait. Do you think I should start since the start just starts so bad?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So we left off in the movie. Edith Pryor is spouting her thing. And so basically Edith Pryor is telling everyone that there's stuff outside the wall and that you should go outside the wall. And the movie ends with everyone like running towards the wall. And
that was Insurgent.
Yes, that was Insurgent. Sorry. In Allegiant, it starts, and like everyone in the city, like, is stopping people from running outside the wall, like they knew what was going on.
Because these movies, like we said last week, is they pick up right
where
they left off.
Yep. And so, you see the people, and then they kind of like stop and slow, and then you see machine cars. I was trying to say military like cars.
Oh, okay.
No, machine cars. Come and stop them. And then it goes to Triss and Four climbing a wall. And Triss saying, or she's asking Four if they actually like think there's something outside of the wall. And she's like, sometimes I see things over the wall. And he's like, I don't. And I'm like, first off, what? Especially since you'll hear what's about to happen that's way different from Allie.
Yes. So Triss is like, I gotta get outside that wall. And then the book flips and now it's Tobias's point of view. And he's talking about like what the plan is and how to get outside the wall. And Triss is right now about to get what's it called? A trial, right?
Yeah, because she's arrested right now.
In the book.
Yes.
Not in the movie.
No, not in the movie at all. The people who are arrested in the movie are, I always want to call him his actual name, Max and Caleb. And in the movie, after they go through Max's trial, they start calling about wanting to like bring in everyone else that they have just because they're excited to have the truth serum to inject people with. Freaking the factionalists run crazy in the movie.
Anyway, so Tobias is talking to Christina, Kara, and Triss about their plan to get out of there. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to tell my mom it's off with Triss because then, you know, it'll be a trick. And but Triss, you need to beat this truth serum they're going to shoot you up with because that's the only way this is all going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Triss did a good job. She lied her way through it. They deemed her not a traitor. They let her go. And Uriah and Triss chat for a little bit. And he's like, hey, Tobias needs you. And so she goes down to Tobias. And she's on her way. But while she's on her way, Tobias is currently tricking his mom, saying it's over. And she told him about the Allegiant, who are these people that are going against her and the factionalists who want the factions still. And she's like, Tobias, you need to figure out who these people are so you can get all the information.
So in the movie, obviously, the stupid trial thing is not happening. And after Triss and Four are on the rooftops talking about if there's anything outside the walls, they go in to be a part of everyone else's trial. And when Triss walks in, Joanna, who is the leader of the Allegiant, is in the area with the factionless. Same with the leader of Candor. He's there too. But Joanna stops Triss and is like, you should be up there with the other leaders. And this is when this whole leader conversation kind of happens with her that was supposed to happen in Insurgent. And it wasn't even with Joanna in Insurgent. It was with the Dauntless people.
Right.
What? My next note says, what the fuck? I knew it was bad, but this is bad. John just... It's the first time he's seen my actual notes.
Uh-huh.
And I was flipping through this and he's like, wait, did you actually write what the fuck?
Like four times. I just saw it.
Yes, I do. When I'm really upset at a movie, that's what I do.
So Triss, this is part of the story now. Triss is part of the story. She goes and finds Tobias and they go on like this weird date thing and they end up having really great conversation. So that's good. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know what? We need to stop lying to each other. And then they end up making out. So, great. Toxic relationship.
Good job, guys.
Great. And then Tobias is turn. And he noticed like something off. Something weird is going on. And then there's like gunshots all over the place. And Edward ended up dying right here. Which, reading, because I watched it first.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Because... he is the main bad guy in the whole entire movie.
Well also it's Edgar.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And so I was quite shocked at that one.
Yeah. No, he's the main bad guy.
Yes.
Just keeps chasing after them.
And so Tobias brings him to the hospital. His mom's so sad because she just loved Edward. I almost said Edgar.
I heard it.
Edward so much. And she's like, I have no idea what's happening. But Tobias could tell she was lying.
Mm-hmm. That does not happen in the movie. Because that just, it doesn't happen in the movie.
Okay. That's a good reason. Yeah. All right. So we're with Triss now. And Triss was not okay with Tobias's mom when she's like, no factions. She's like, this is the stupidest idea. And...
that's funny because in the movie, she's all for no factions.
Right?
Yeah, she literally goes to the council people and says it.
Gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's kidnapped by the Allegiant. Like, she's on her way home. Kidnapped by the Allegiant. And they said that she needs to come back tomorrow and meet with them. And they're going to discuss stuff. And she gets a note from Tobias that Caleb's decision for his fate, what's going to happen, death or banishment or sort of being let go or whatever, is tomorrow.
That doesn't happen in the movie. Okay.
They go to the meeting space. And Tobias shows up and he gives the news that Caleb is going to be executed. And they listen to the leaders, Kara and Johanna, and the leaders of Allegiant. And they say, we want a lot of Dauntless because you guys are the tough ones and we need help. We got to get out of the city. And unfortunately, Peter's one of the Dauntless that's helping. And Triss is pissed off, which, you know, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But the plan is to leave tomorrow night.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in the movie either.
Okay. With Tobias. Now Tobias and Triss kiss. And then he's like, hey, I'm going to go get Caleb out of prison. And... okay. So weird.
Okay. I mean,
just, I'm sure it did not. The way I wrote it, though, is like, could you imagine, like, kissing your boyfriend and then him and stopping? Like,
I gotta go get Caleb for you really quick.
I gotta go get your brother. Oh, my Atlanta. Okay. So they will go back into Tobias's fear landscape.
It's just him that goes back into it. He doesn't take her with him.
Oh, okay. He goes back in. And it turns out he's not scared of his dad anymore. So that's really good. But he is scared that Triss is going to die and he cannot save her.
We got a ghost in here, guys.
He went and lied his way to get Caleb. He's like, I got to take Caleb. The mom wants him, blah, 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 or whatever he says to trick them to letting Caleb out.
Mm-hmm.
He says goodbye to Zeke, who was Uriah's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and meets Triss on a train. And we learn at this point that Tobias's leader from when he was an initiate,
Amar,
saved Tobias's life by showing him how to be a divergent in like hiding it. But he wasn't able to hide it himself, so he ended up dying.
Yeah. So, in the movie, after we've got some of the, what you call them, the trials going on, the next one is going to be Caleb's. But Tobias, in the, like, clamor of everyone being excited for the trials, he gets Caleb out of his jail cell and sneaks him away. And then on their way out... two people stop them and are like, hey, what are you doing? And Four is like, I was told to transfer him. And they're like, no, we wouldn't know. So then he pushes Caleb off of a ledge and shoots him and pretends to kill him. I guess I shouldn't have just said pretends to kill him. But guess what, guys? He pretended.
He also pretended to shoot him. He didn't really shoot him.
Yes.
So he really shot, but he...
oh, yeah.
Caleb's like down in the hit, like in a... ditch,
and he shot probably past him.
Yeah,
it made it look like
it was a funny part. I
yeah,
liked it.
Yeah. And then after the guys leave, he's like, "Okay, Caleb, you can get up now." And then they all go steal a car to leave. And when they're leaving, Peter runs up to them and is like, "Hey guys, I want to come with you because I don't really want to stay here with your crazy mom who's gonna run this place crazy and into the ground with all the factionless." And they're like, no, we don't want you along. And he's like, well, I could just yell, help, help, they're over here, they're getting away. So right. Then they stop and are like, okay, come with us. And then they reach like this weird border thing, border patrol thing that the factionless have up apparently. And Four is like, oh, we got the orders to move this prisoner. And then Christina comes from the other side with a note for them for the move. Oh. And I was like, what? That makes no sense, but whatever. Also, in the movie, the big difference here is when Tobias gets Caleb out of prison, it's his idea in the book. But in the movie, Triss is the one who's like, we should probably save him.
So they all meet up with the Allegiant.
And then they go off and they're trying to get outside the wall. And all of a sudden they hear gunshots. And everybody's getting shot at. And everybody's dropping. Not really everybody's dropping, but Tori drops.
Wow.
Tori drops.
Everyone.
And she unfortunately died. And I was sad about that one.
I actually was too. I liked Tori.
I did too.
I mean, she was a very, very, very small character, but I liked her.
Yeah, yeah. So they're trying to find Tobias, and they find him, and then he also got shot, but he's still kicking it. He's good. And then they get outside the wall, and they start jumping on trains, and then they finally meet two people named Zoe and Amar. And as mentioned, Amar was Tobias's Dauntless leader, who was supposed to be dead. And they also see a picture. They show her a picture, the whole crew a picture, and in the picture it's Triss's mom, and she's little. So Triss is like, what's going on here?
So that doesn't happen. Well, part of it doesn't happen in the movie. It happens, but it's messed up like everything else. So after everyone got stopped at the border, well, everyone, for Triss, Caleb, and Peter got stopped at the border, Edgar then goes to Evelyn to be like, yo, Four is leaving. And Evelyn's like, Four is a, Tobias is a traitor. We shoot to kill. And you're like, that's your son you're talking about. Why are you such a bitch? And then they start running. Basically, they go through the border and they also like stop using the car. I don't understand why they stop driving their car when Edgar just brings his car to the wall. Why did they get out? Did they think that would be better?
Didn't they have to like climb the wall?
Yes, they did. Which is weird because I also, when I read it, I envisioned it being a chain link fence type of thing where there's a random hole and you're like, oh, I'm in.
Right.
Not, all right, we got to figure this out. And then they basically are walking around in this deserted world. And they start talking about how everything looks radioactive. What? That makes absolutely no sense. It's so freaking stupid. And then they're like, what's that? And they turn around and there's Edgar in his car. How did he get through the wall with his car? That's what I want to know. Tell me. How you doing that? Uh-huh. And then after Edgar gets there with his car, he gets stopped by basically the, I guess it's what the movie's calling the Allegiant, but I don't think they ever give themselves a name in the movie. And they stop they stop Edgar from coming after them, which is, oh, because they shoot one of their guns and it's like crazy weird technology.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember that.
All right. So now we're with Tobias and they're brought into this room and this gal named Zoe, and everybody is talking to them about airports and like normal world things. And they're like, what the heck is all this? And they turn over their guns. They get all cleaned and washed off. Triss then.
Well, wait, hold on.
Okay.
Can I ask you how you thought they got cleaned in the book?
Well, I saw the movie first.
Oh, so yeah. I thought. Just assumed.
Yeah.
Guys, I just thought, okay, they like went in, took a shower, changed their clothes really quick, went about their business. In the movie, there's this weird ass plasma globe drop thing that comes and like goes right over their body. It's disgusting. I'm like, what the why? Because it's radioactive. Bullshit. Goddamn.
All right, so we're with Triss and they're, the leader of this whole outside world is named David, and he let them know that they are part of a U.S. government created experiment. And all I'm thinking is, like, I'd be pissed. Like, yeah. My parents just died for a freaking experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, what makes it worse is your mom knew about it. I mean, at this point in time, you don't know that, but your mom knew.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And so he says that the experiment is working with their genes, so they created these factions. And the goal in the end was all the divergent come out, and they kind of, like, show, like, oh, we're the pure genes. We have no damaged genes. But that was not what happened because everybody's like, ah, divergence.
I remember, I think like in our Divergent episode, I didn't very clearly explain why I love this book. And it's so funny because how you just explained this made it click. I like that it's a very, like, I mean, it's not thinly veiled, but it's allegorical for racism and for homophobia and for basically everything that we do in the world today. Uh-huh. And obviously, I wish the right people would read it and be like, God, this is so stupid. Why are they keeping people apart like this? But of course, all the people who are already probably fighting the good fight are the ones reading it going, yeah, stick it to them.
Right.
But yeah, I just love that because it felt very like, you know, sometimes young adult books are written and meant to take you away and not have you see a problem and face the problem. But this one felt like it was like, hey, here's a problem.
Right.
That none of us are addressing. So let's do it. Also, no one meets David right off the bat. Who they meet is Matthew. Right off the bat. First off, Matthew's played by one of my many loves. He's played by Bill Skarsgård. And I love him so much. Like, I did not want to rewatch Allegiant, but then I got to him. I was you know what? Worth it.
I thought he looked so familiar, but I didn't click until I wrote the cast.
Oh, and you're like, well, what's funny is, when I saw him in Castle Rock, I thought I hadn't seen him in anything apart from It.
I was going to say, I've definitely seen him in It.
Yeah, I saw him in It too. He's such a great, I mean, obviously no one can replace Tim Curry, but I've never seen
the original It.
Well, good news for you. We're not covering the book because I'm not reading that book again, but I do plan on having us do original It versus new It.
Okay.
God damn, you haven't watched the original?
Nope.
It's kind of like, what did? I was about to tell you a story about John, thinking that I had just talked to him about a movie that he hadn't seen. And I was like, what movie was it? And then I clicked that it was the Schindler's List thing.
Me just uncultured over here.
That's hilarious.
Oh, gosh.
Ay, ay, ay.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I should also finish this little introduction part.
Okay.
Because then they also, after their little plasma tube shower, they got their tattooed wrists. Their wrists tattooed. And with like this weird barcode. And Christina comes up and makes a comment about like, oh, yours looks different than mine to Triss. And then they're in this room and they see this weird, like, holographic video of David explaining about the U.S. government experiment.
So, Tobias talks with Amar and finds out that they fixed his death so he could escape because they found out that Janine was killing all the Divergents and they're like, that's not part of the experiment. So he basically come on the outside to help out the inside, or that was the plan. And we also find out that Tori's brother is there. Aww. And that's just so sad.
It broke my heart when I first read this book. I was like, oh my gosh, she was minutes away from knowing that her brother was alive.
I know.
Minutes, maybe like an hour or so. But
yeah.
Yeah, I was so sad.
Because he comes up, he's like, how is Tori here? Where's Tori?
I know that she was on her way. Aww. Yeah, that doesn't happen. In the movie.
No.
Only Tori dies.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. So, which is also stupid because in the previous movies, Tori's talked about her brother.
I know.
So
what an easy little liner.
Yes. One liner. Have a guy come up and go, where's Tori?
And then brother.
All clicks. Yeah. Whatever. Whatever.
All right. So Triss is talking to David about her mom, because we find out her mom actually was from the Bureau, which is what they call the outside world. And at 16, they put her in Dauntless because she had tattoos already, and so she'd fit there. And he gave Triss one of her old journals. And at this point, the Bureau's Matthew, right?
Yes.
Is asking Triss if he can test her because he's never tested anyone this far into the program. He wants to test all her genes and everything like that.
I wish this storyline came into play too.
I know.
Matthew's just kind of there in the movie.
I know.
Thank God they kept him because then we got Bill Skarsgård. But still. So in the movie, after they've got their wrist tattooed and they're learning about the experiment, we flip back to Evelyn, who, you know, is supposed to be focused on getting rid of the factions and going to war with, wow, why can't I remember what they're called?
The Allegiant?
Those are the Allegiant. Okay. I messed up when I said the people met up with them. They were not the Allegiant. They were these Bureau people. But anyway.
Oh.
So, rather than focusing on this war with the Allegiant and getting rid of the factions, she's more worried about getting Four back because she doesn't want him out in the real world. Why? So then, in the movie, we go to Triss getting to go meet David, or Matthew taking her to go meet David because she's the one that opened the box. And so she gets to go meet the director because she's special.
No damaged genes for her.
Nope, not at all. And then my next note is that I never imagined the story so futuristic. Every time I read it, nothing seems futuristic to me at all.
Yeah, I didn't when I was reading it. No, not at all. I mean, I like the futuristic aspect of it, but this one was very, very futuristic compared to the other one.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, what the hell? Also, if you're that futuristic, why is your little experiment so far in the past? Like, why don't they have some of your technology?
Right.
Whatever. You guys are even more assholes than in the book. But anyway, so then David and Triss are talking and David is like, you're the only genetically pure one. What the fuck? That's not the case in the book at all. At all. Literally, my next note is what the fuck. Not even just me saying it because I was pissed. And then instead of journals that she gets from her mom, it's like these weird memory tabs that they put on her eyeballs and then she can see everything that her mom went through. Oh, also, my next note is they legit make Triss such a hero in these movies because after she sees the journals, David's like, you helped us save a city. Now help us save the world.
Such a cheesy line.
It really is. It's so bad. Every time when I made John watch both of these, he literally every time would be like, how did they get some great actors to say some of the worst lines ever written?
Oh, no. Okay. So, Tobias didn't want to watch his father's trial because they're able to, like, spy in on what's going on in Chicago. And he's like, no, I'm just going to go do the gene testing thing with Triss. And then he finds out he's not divergent. He just has a very special brain. Poor kid. And there was a girl that was helping Matthew, Nita, I think her name was.
Yes.
And she came from one of the simulations that happened somewhere else in Indianapolis, I guess. And that simulation failed, but she was able to escape or get out or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, come back. I'm going to tell you about your test results later. And he's like, okay.
So in the movie, this doesn't happen. Instead, Nita takes Four to go to a shooting training. We also then see that they're giving Peter and Caleb a job where they have to basically sit and watch everyone in Chicago. They're the ones who are now going to be watching the experiment. My next note is just me being like, what in the hell? They're giving roles to these people even though they're like free from the simulation now. They're like, cool, you're free from this, but guess what? We're now going to make you do this. Yeah,
you now work for us.
Yes, sorry. You thought you were free.
Okay. So, with Triss, they go on an airplane and they... You've got more?
Yeah, actually, I'll catch up to the fringe in the movie.
Okay.
So, then, after the roles have been given and Four has gone and done some of his shooting training, this is where they realize that damaged people can't go into certain places in the compound. This is also now when Tobias finds out about the genetically damaged, like, rather than him being told about it, he just found out.
Yeah.
And he got all pissed at her at a dinner thing or at lunch.
Toxic relationship.
Very toxic. Especially she goes off to go meet up with David. And then he like tries to go with her, but they're upset at each other. So then Nina comes up and is like, no, it's fine. I need you anyway. And Tris goes on her little way. And when she gets up there, she's talking to David because she trusts David so much, all about her and Forrest's little fight. And David's like, don't worry. I know things are tough. It's kind of hard with the differences between you, but everything will be fine. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
All right. So they're on an airplane and they're going and they're learning about the fringe, which is like this almost factionless part of outside of Chicago. And Tris decides she's going to start reading her mom's journal, and she finds out backstory about how her mom came from a really rough childhood. So it was either going to the fringe or going back home. And she's like, I'm going to go to the fringe. And this is where the Bureau came and collected her. And David asked her to write journals. And Tris shared with Christina and Uriah about how her mom used to live here and everything like this. And Caleb comes over and she's like, hey, go away.
So in the movie, the person who learns and finds out about the fringe is Four. Tris never goes to the fringe. And Four is told that this is where they save children. Not that it's a society, you know, where people live. Like,
yeah,
they explain it in the book to be like a rough little area or whatever.
Right.
And then you find out that's basically like the factionless. But in the movie, they're like, oh, we go there to save the children that are there, yada, yada. But then when they get down into the fringe, Four finds out because he sees a dad and a son, and one of the other people from the Bureau is there trying to get the kid alone, and he goes to the lengths of killing the dad to get the kid alone. And Four is like, this is not okay. And he like goes up to Nita and is like, I did not sign up for this. This is messed up. What are we doing here? And then Christina comes up to him and brings this kid up to him. He's like, Four, I think you should see this. And asks the kid's name. And it's the kid who just lost his dad. And he's like, my name? Confused, because he doesn't know his name. And then Four apologizes about the thing with his dad. And he's like, my dad? Because he doesn't know his dad. So then Four realizes that they're wiping memories away and they're stealing kids from the fringe to take back to the Bureau and raise as a Bureau child. So then Four gets pissed.
Yes.
Okay, you can go. I'll figure out when I jump in next. Okay.
We're so far different now, guys.
That yeah, this is where everything just like...
You're going to have to pay attention to two stories now.
Because it's so different now.
All right. So we're with Tobias and he's speaking with Nita. And he's like, I have such limitations now because I'm genetically damaged. And she's like, oh my gosh. He also hears the verdict for his dad is that his mom's not going to execute him, but she's going to banish him away. And he doesn't know how he feels about this. Flipping to Tris, there's an alarm that goes off. And so Tris kills some time. She's reading the diary entries and she finds out that her mom was supposed to choose erudite at the choosing ceremony, but she ends up choosing abnegation because she met Tris's dad and they fell in love and he didn't want to go to erudite either.
Mm-hmm.
So they chose abnegation. And David was not happy that she did not do the plan.
Mm-hmm. Plus, he was in love with her.
Yep. And so they were like, she's like, I'm not sending you letters anymore. And he's like, fine, whatever. And Tris went to figure out what was going on. So she talked to Zoe. And Zoe's like, basically her dad was... Oh, this is what I just said. Where her dad didn't want to be an erudite.
Oh, yeah.
He found out... Janine was doing simulation fear tests on the factionless.
That's such bullshit, too. Like, everyone's messed up in the books and the movies.
Yes. And so, yeah. And then Tris is like, oh, okay, I'll show Caleb. It was his mom, too.
Yeah.
And he's like, here, let me show you. We are
relatives of Edith Pryor. Like, I'm like, you guys have the same name.
I know. That's the most confusing part to me. I was like, it took you that long to realize that? Like, I also am so upset when... Oh, wait. I had finished Insurgent a week before Allegiant came out. And I remember this because I remember my friend who had finished Allegiant too, me and her, we were stuck on the fact of who is Edith Pryor.
You guys were too?
Yes.
So you didn't know it was a relative?
No, I knew it was a relative.
Okay.
But I wanted to know her purpose, her backstory, why she was so important.
But they never tell us.
No.
No.
No. So that makes me upset.
Yeah.
About this book.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you really introduced me to Edith Pryor. And then you have Caleb. Even though, when I read it, I was like, you're an idiot for just now realizing it. But cool, we're getting somewhere with her story.
Right. This is where I thought we would figure it out, and we never did. So
mm-hmm.
I was on the same page as you.
Yeah. I was very upset about that.
So Tobias got a note on his pillow from Nita saying, come meet me. So she goes, or he goes off and sees her, and she shows him the family trees of Chicago, and she wanted to show him something else. But she's like, you're not allowed to tell Triss. So now he's like, oh, great. Just promised I wouldn't lie to her. And now I'm going to lie to her. And so they went and met these people who are GDs, which are genetically damaged people. And they're planning to overtake the government. And he sees how bad the fringe is, because they had to go out into the fringe to meet these people. And he hears how it's all the GD's fault. And he's like, well, I'm genetically damaged. So he's like, this is all hitting home to him more.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets back down. He lays down. He's like, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to tell Triss. We promised we'd be honest with each other. And she doesn't need my protection, which was Nita's reasoning for her not knowing. Because she's like, she's in danger if she knows. And so he's going to tell her.
That doesn't happen in the movie.
So Tobias wakes up and shares about Nita. And Triss is super jealous, but she's like, okay, I'll go meet her tonight. Of course she goes and meets her if she's jealous.
Well, yeah. Hello.
And so they all go meet up and they learn about a war that's been covered up in history. And the government gave Janine the serum that was controlling Tobias in the first book. And, Tobias plans to destroy the memory serum because David's going to use it to wipe out the rest of the system. And that's the plan.
I just realized I think
what?
In its own weird, twisted way, the storyline is the kids in the fringe. The memory serum.
Uh-huh.
He wants to destroy the memory serum that David's going to use to reset the system.
Yeah.
In the movie, it's memory serum going into the children. It's like the movie tried.
Yeah.
But it missed the mark so bad.
Okay. So we got Triss and she's upset. She's like, I don't trust Nita. And then they had to fight again. Triss decides to go confide in Matthew. And she tells Matthew that she heard something from, and he's like, was it from Nita? And then he tells Triss all about how, they're trying to get the death serum is their main plan. And she's like, what? And as they're running to stop them, there's a giant explosion and it hits Uriah. And it turns out another giant battle's happening because of Nita and everybody. They're trying to get the death serum. And they end up, David ends up getting shot a couple times. He's still alive. Nita and the rest, including Tobias, were arrested. And Triss went to see if Christina's okay because she's freaking out because she and Uriah were basically a thing.
Poor Christina.
The third guy of hers that is on the brink of death.
This poor girl.
I know. And Triss goes to find Tobias because he's arrested right now.
Yeah, that does not happen in the movie.
No, it does not.
There is no death serum even in the movie, which I'm like, how? What? Okay.
Right.
It's just the memory serum.
So Tobias went through all this questioning, right? Figure out what happened. And they deemed, you know what? You really didn't know what was going to happen. Okay, you're free. You just have parole. And then Nita is going to prison. He's like, wait, you're not going to be executed? Like, because like that's a that's a go-to thing in Chicago. And she's like, no, capital punishment's not allowed for GDs because, you know, we can't be set to as high standards as the pure. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I mean, I'm glad she's not being executed, but
yeah,
the but standards.
That's also super stupid. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope. So Tobias went to the control room and he decides, you know, I just need to calm down and watch Chicago for a bit. And he sees Johanna and his dad making a deal. So the opposite of calming down happens. He gets pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sees Evelyn crying and he's like, why is she crying? What's happening?
Yeah. And that does not happen because Evelyn is on a rampage trying to find four.
Yep. Yep.
Not because she misses him.
Nope. So, man, a lot is happening in the book and not, like, you can't jump in at all yet?
I'm, like, at the end of the movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll just keep going.
Basically, yeah, I keep trying to, like, where would be a good time to do this? But, oh, I know where this will be a good time to do this. Okay, yeah.
Keep going?
Yeah, you gotta keep going for a while.
Oh, gosh, okay. So, Tris and David have a meeting, and David invites her to be a trainee on the council. Oh.
Okay, not too far.
Okay. And she finds out that by blowing up a wall to the weapons lounge, a serum gets released. And if it's absorbed through the skin, it's like super painful. It causes death. Basically a death serum, but mm-hmm. not the death serum. Or is it the death serum?
It is the death
it
serum.
It is the death mm-hmm. serum. Okay. And
it's just a, what is it called? Airborne version of it.
Okay. And so Peter and Tobias are talking about how the world is so big. And it's like, oh, nothing I do matters. Peter's just like down in the dumps right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Kara got Tobias in a meeting and they're planning how to get rid of David. And they, like the good guys, are planning how to get rid of David, not Nita and her horrible crew.
Yeah.
Tris had another meeting with David. And so they ended up having, Tris and Tobias had a little chat and they end up having a fight again
mm-hmm.
and they're like, we need to leave each other alone for a little bit
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
So Tris ends up going to the Fringe with Amar to, you know, learn about that, and she, there's another guy there, like obviously they're going in like a group.
Yeah.
And he gets, someone tries to shoot him, like this whole battle, oh sorry, hitting my mic, this whole battle, I'm getting
he's excited. So excited. I just said he, sorry, because I was thinking of George.
So this whole battle breaks out, and luckily he's wearing a bulletproof vest, so George doesn't die. But the Fringe people took their surveillance stuff. Guys, oh my gosh. And they destroyed it. Tris got George safe. Amar tells Tris that he loved Tobias. And now he loves George, but it's a secret because no one can know about him. And it's just like, oh,
I love it.
I know.
That doesn't happen in the movie.
No. So Tobias was looking at the computer surveillance and he saw the Allegiant Rebellion has started. So he's like, crap, we got to go. Okay. And Tris comes to terms with the fact that I'm willing to forgive Tobias for the rest of my life. Because I love him so much. And I'm like, oh, gosh. And she finds out from that David's going to do a memory serum on all of Chicago to reset so that he can keep his experiment going. And she shares this with the group and they come up with a plan. And you know what? We're going to erase the Bureau's memory instead. Then this will never happen.
Okay, this is where I'll jump in. So now, back in the movie, Four has just found out about them taking the kids from the Fringe and wiping their memories. So he's pissed. And he knows that Tris is upstairs in a meeting with David. And so he grabs someone who's genetically pure and just runs with her to let her tattoo let him go where he wants to go. So he goes up to meet with Tris and is like, Tris, this is what they're doing. This is insane. They're stealing kids. They're wiping their memories, killing their families, yada, yada, yada. This bitch trusts David more than she trusts Four, her boyfriend. I know you've only been dating for maybe a few months, but
solid relationship right there.
Yeah, you're gonna really be like, you don't know who David is, and then go with him to Providence. Because also Providence, like, this is where the council is in the movie. the council in the book comes to David. Anyways, so then Triss goes with David to Providence. My next note. This movie is its own thing. It doesn't even touch the book. Mm-mm. I didn't make a note of what got said in the meeting in Providence, and I wish I did. But in the meeting, essentially, David's there to boast about Triss and like show like, look, the experiment works. It works. Look at her. And so then the council like wants to hear from Triss, and Triss is there saying how she doesn't want factions and how she hates that they put everyone in these experiments and how there shouldn't be the genetically pure and the genetically damaged and yada, yada, yada. And then basically the council is like, or because she says how the Chicago is basically going to war and how she thinks that if they just stopped with the factions, everything would be fixed. And when the board members is like, oh, but that's David's decision. Like, David has jurisdiction over the Chicago experiment. He's just here to try to get more money from us. And this is when Triss gets pissed at David and stops trusting him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we find out that Uriah died. Or he's, like, on, like, life support, but basically it's time to get unplugged type of thing. So, they agree. The Bureau is like, you can go collect his family so they can say goodbye. And so Tobias asks Amar to help him get onto the compound. And Triss talks to Nita about all the information she can get about this weapons lab. So Tobias and Christina, they come up with a plan on how they're going to get away from the group by like Christina's going to say she has to go pee and slash the tires and then they have to go find a new car and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they'll get the memory serum to one of Tobias's parents to stop the battle that's going on in Chicago.
Yep.
And then they're so excited they figured out a plan that Tristan and Tobias have sex.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in the movie.
No.
So in the movie now, for some reason, like, they say something about how they want to take Four back to Chicago, but they also then ask him if he wants to go back to Chicago, and he says no. And then the next scene with Four is he's in an airplane to go to Chicago. And he's basically kind of like a prisoner from the Bureau workers, and Matthew's there too for some reason. I don't understand the movie at all. But next thing you know, Matthew and Four have decided to start beating up everyone else on the plane. And then the plane starts crashing because they just beat everyone else up. No shit, guys. So then Four decides that he needs to get back into his mom to tell her that she needs to stop doing what she's doing because she doesn't know what she's up against. So then he has to go walk through all the radioactive stuff again to get back to his mom. And so Matthew helps him come up with a plan to get back into Chicago. My next note is, it's all fucked up. Because then, at the crash site, Matthew has been injured in this crash. And so he's getting up and they're like talking about the plan. And he's like, go on without me. And Four's like, okay. And leaves. But Four would never leave someone in a crash. Never.
So back to the book. Triss and Tobias decide that Caleb needs some weapons training. Because the part of their plan is that Caleb's going to sacrifice himself as punishment because he's been such a dick this whole time. Poor Caleb. I felt so bad for him.
I know. Well, the thing too about that whole scene too is that no one was volunteering to do it, obviously. And he literally was like, is this what it's going to take for you to forgive me?
Yeah.
Not even like, yeah, I'll do it because I want to. It's just he starts crying basically and is like, I know that the only thing that you want from me is for me to do this. And, like, I almost hate that for him, too. I'm like, that just, it sucks all around.
I know. Poor Caleb.
Yeah.
Made bad choices, and now it's just
biting him in the butt.
Yep. And so, we also find out Matthew's backstory and how he was in love with a genetically damaged girl and she ended up dying, so now he's like, screw this stupid society, and he is so sad for his girl.
It doesn't happen.
So now they are heading out to Chicago, and Peter is acting real odd, but you know he's got to come because it's going to ruin the whole experiment if he doesn't. And so they do their plan, and Tobias goes off to find a new car, but
instead, really he's going to find his parents.
Uh-huh. And Peter tags along, and he has to decide if he's going to erase his mom's memory or his dad's memory, because he only has one time for one dose.
Yeah. And so he has to pick which is the lesser of two evils.
Uh-huh.
So in the movie, this whole movie, Peter has been wanting to smooch up to David because he's sick of his job watching the Chicago experiment. He wants a better job. He thinks that's below him, even though he's damaged. But so finally, now that Tris is upset at David, David's like, okay, I have to figure out a way to just get things, like, we need clean slate. I've screwed up. I need to get this restarted, especially since there's a war going on in Chicago. So he's like, ha, I'm going to wipe everyone's memory. But how am I going to get the memories here? I'm in there. Ah, this dude, he wants to be liked so much. Mm-hmm. So he shows Peter the memory serum and then sends Peter on his way to Evelyn. And basically, they put a bag over his head and dropped him at the wall for Edgar to find. And then Edgar brings him in and is like, look at who we found at the edge of the wall. So then Evelyn gets told about the memory serum. This is when she does her basically trial with Marcus, but instead of a trial, she uses the memory serum on him, because Peter was basically like, when he was telling her about the serum, he was like, do you have someone you don't like laying around that we could try this on? And she did. So she wipes his memory. And this made me sad because there's literally no redemption for Evelyn in this movie, unlike in the book.
Tris and Caleb are kind of hanging out. They have a couple minutes left together before this plan goes into play. And so they're playing a game, Candor, where they ask each other questions. They have to tell each other the truth. They used to play it as kids. And I'd be just so sad. Like, I couldn't even imagine just sitting there with my brother and be like, playing a game. Even if we, like, went through all this crap.
Yeah.
And just knowing that he's about to die.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be horrible.
It would be rough.
Yeah.
And you think you have at least, like, a day. But then,
all of a sudden, they hear an emergency lockdown, and Matthew comes in and is like, we got to do it now. And so now
that would be even harder.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter, back to Tobias. So Peter wants to get his memories reset too, because he's like, I hate the man I am, and I think getting them reset is going to be better for me and all this sort of stuff. Tobias tries to talk him out of it, but then eventually he's like, yeah, whatever. Sure.
So in the movie, now that Four is in Chicago with his mom and Tris has realized what a dick David is, she's trying to find Four so that they can work together to figure out how they're going to fix things, but she can't find him. So then she goes to find Peter in his little sphere thing looking at Chicago, but he's not there. I wonder where he is. So she has to go to Caleb, and she asks Caleb where he is, but Caleb's like, I don't know, if he's not there, I have no idea. So then Tris tells Caleb, like, okay, I really would appreciate it if you found Four for me. Like, I need to find where he's at. So then he finds that Four is in Chicago with his mom, but he also finds that Peter is there giving her the memory serum. So then the next thing that Tris says is, let's go rescue Four. But there's no rescuing Four in the book at all.
No.
Her, Caleb, and Christina are like, yeah, let's go rescue Four.
Four is a strong, independent man.
Mm-hmm. You don't need no women.
Okay. So Tris is pretending that Caleb's her hostage, right? That's how they're trying to get as much time close to the weapons lab as they can.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually people figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
She also realizes, oh my gosh, I love Caleb. He's my brother. I can't send him to die.
Well, let's be honest too. Not only does she love him, but this is totally her abnegation showing.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And so she made him give her the backpack, which was the explosives. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I can survive the spray. It's okay. I'm
mm-hmm. I'm Divergent.
Yeah. And everybody's trying to stop him. She gets shot. So she doesn't have time to put on the suit that would protect her from the spray. So she just steps in the room and she hears the mist. So Triss is fighting for her life. She's surviving, though. It's like, I can survive the death serum.
Miracle.
And then David comes in. He's pointing a gun at her and talking to her, which is what all bad guys do. And that's why they always fail.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to figure out where the memory serum is, like, as he's talking. Like, she's looking around. And then Caleb comes in and shoots David. But at the same time, David shoots Triss. She had a vision of her mom. And her mom's saying, it's time. You did great, Triss. And she dies.
Yeah, guys, this does not happen in the movie, and that makes me so mad. Also, you would think, after having read so many books, watching so many movies, being able to figure out when characters are going to die, that you would think that the second I read a Tobias chapter, I would have figured this shit out. But I did not. And I bawled for like 2 days straight over this death. It hit me hard. I was so sad. I was like, just dying. You can ask Sierra. She got to witness that. But in the movie, they're not that.
No.
Triss does not die. In my notebook.
Oh.
What? I was reading the one before that note and I was like, that's not the right note. My next note is literally, Triss is supposed to be dead by now, when in all actuality, she's running with Christina and Caleb and four. So you go turn off this ventilation system to stop Evelyn's little plan that David technically put into place. And Evelyn is going crazy right now because she's crazy. No. Yeah. Because she wants to wipe everyone's memory, and she doesn't care that she's also going to be wiping her son's memory. But then the memory serum starts to get released just a little bit, and Peter sees this and he starts to book it because he doesn't want his memory erased, even though in the book he's supposed to want it.
Yep.
Literally my next note says, what bullshit. But then Caleb saves the day and is able to find a way to turn off the ventilation system, and it gets turned off. And then Triss sends a message to David to be like, screw you. I know what I'm doing better.
And that's it.
That's it for the movie.
Which just drove me crazy because I'm like, with Divergent and Insurgent, like, you knew there was going to be more.
Yeah.
But the movies ended it where if there wasn't more, it was okay. You knew there was supposed to be more, but it wasn't a cliffhanger. Whereas this movie ended on a cliffhanger and there's no more. And I'm like, oh, my land. I mean, I know there was supposed to be more, but shouldn't they have ended it the same as the other ones, mm-hmm. just in case?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't they also have ended it halfway through the book?
If that was their plan.
Yeah. What are you guys thinking?
Oh, gosh. Ugh. Okay, so Tobias finds Evelyn in the book, and he tells her what's going on and that he wants to reset her memory. And they call Marcus and Johanna and they put an end to this war. And she agreed to the condition that Marcus couldn't run the city. And what she agreed to was that she will leave the city. She didn't agree to getting memory serumed. So no one's getting memory serumed. And then she's just going to leave. And that's not true. Peter got memory serumed because he wanted to. And he's super annoying. He's like a little toddler. And
has to relearn everything.
And Tobias went and found Zeke and all of Uriah's family and let them know what happened. They went back to the compound and they said their goodbyes. And this is when he found out that Triss died.
Aww.
No.
It's so sad.
Yes.
But it didn't happen in the movie.
Nope. So Tobias is going through all the memories of Triss and like all the feelings of grief and everything like that. And, Caleb comes and ends up telling him that, you know, Triss wasn't being reckless. She meant to do this. She thought it through. Don't be mad at her. Because before they left, Tobias is like, don't
do anything stupid. And then she doesn't.
Yes, she does.
And doesn't.
But it wasn't originally her plan. And so basically she just wants to make sure that Tobias knows that much.
Yeah. Yep. So Uriah gets unplugged and David is also in the hospital, which pisses Tobias off, but he got memory serum, so David has no idea what's going on. And Tobias is about to use the memory serum on himself because he doesn't like this grief. And Christina's like, you're such an idiot. She'd hate you for doing that because that's you erasing her from your life and blah, 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 blah. He's like, you're right. And they agree to be friends. So now we're at an epilogue 2 years later.
Bum, bum, bum. I don't know why I did that.
They are about to get rid of Trish's ashes. Took 2 years. You know, grief
works forever. In mysterious ways.
Yes. And they're allowing Evelyn to go back into Chicago. And the way they get rid of the ashes is Four swallows his fear. Tobias swallows his fear. And he does the zip line and he just lets go of the ashes as he's going down. Could you imagine like being down below and like ashes falling? Ashes fall.
I hadn't thought of that. That would be disgusting. Especially since everyone's like there waiting to catch him. Me, I just love it's one of my favorite scenes.
I know.
I love how he conquers that fear.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
That's the end of the book.
Okay.
All right.
IMDb cast 231 people.
It does not feel like that.
No, yeah, it doesn't. All right. Well, first we got Jeff Daniels plays David.
He did really good.
Yeah, I really like him.
He's a very good bad guy.
Uh-huh. And then Bill Skarsgård played Matthew.
One of my loves.
I love him. He was a good nerd.
He's so good. He's very versatile, too. Uh-huh. He's like a chameleon. He can be a scary clown and a nerd.
Yep.
And a scary serial killer dude.
Yep.
In Castle Rock.
Yeah. I need to watch that still.
Oh, it's so good. I wish that one was a book.
That would be cool.
I would for sure make us watch it. I mean, technically, it's based off of all of his stuff, but... No, first season was Shawshank, second season was Misery.
Dude, so we should watch it and do like a mini-sode on it.
Actually, we should.
God, it's to the list.
I'd be down.
Okay.
For sure, because it's one of my favorite shows. I wish season two ended in a way where you could go on, but it also kind of wrapped things up.
Uh-huh.
And I wish there were more. Yeah. I wish it kept going, but...
Huh. Okay. Okay. And then we have Nadia Hilker played Nita.
She did good for what she was given.
Yeah, she was not book Nita.
No, so, not at all.
Okay.
So you're fine.
Yeah, good job. And then, of course, we have to bring it back because this is a series. Talk about our main guys. And that would be Shailene Woodley as Triss.
She really is Triss.
She is.
She does such a good job.
She did good throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. I wish so much that she got book Triss, but.
Yeah.
That's not her fault.
I know. And then same with Theo James as Four or Tobias.
I agree. I think they both could have pulled off book characters very well. But we're not given that.
Nope.
Is the name of the book or the movie the same? Hell no.
Not at all. No,
not in the slightest.
Do the characters stay true to the movie? Can I read that again? Do the characters stay true in the movie to how they are written in the book?
No. I almost said yes. What the fuck?
Dude, I almost said yes to the first one, too. I'm so tired.
No, not in the slightest.
Nope, nope, nope.
Insane.
And which do you prefer? And why?
I'm about to shock everyone. I prefer the book.
What?
No idea why. I love this book series so freaking much. And the movie, I'm tired too. So freaking much. And the movies just really, the movies do it no justice. And I hope some studio comes and picks it up and it's like, you know what? We deserve to get a better rendition of this.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Ellie, what do you prefer?
I prefer the book.
Holy shit. Mind blown.
Yeah, I just didn't like... Okay, so like the first two, I chose movie because they followed the book so closely. It wasn't really a like vast difference to me. I mean, it was fun watching it, and I like the futuristic parts and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But this one was so different, mm-hmm. not just from the book, but from the style that the original two movies were.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel like it was connected.
It was its connected. Own beast.
Yeah. So I did not like that at all.
That just makes me really happy because I thought you were going to like the movie because you watched the movie first.
Yep. Nope. The thing
I
did not
really
work.
Sad.
Our theory did not work for this one.
I've been stressed about this whole time.
Well, there we are.
All right, guys.
Okay.
Our next episode is going to be Caging Skies, which is Jojo Rabbit, which is really ironic because it's a World War II movie. But
oh, how funny.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. After we went on a tangent about that.
Uh-huh.
And then next week's...
Season 3 episode. Because that's going to be season 4 episode.
Mm-hmm. So season 3's episode is going to be a mini-sode for Divergent.
Yes.
Do you like four?
Do you like how we actually can tell you, starting now, you guys, we will tell you legit
what's
sneak
coming
peeks.
On Wednesdays. Yeah.
Because for all
that too. Yeah. For forever. For everything.
Well, I guess all of season 4's will be accurate.
Yeah.
But all of our Wednesday ones, all of our season 3 episodes we've released are either inaccurate.
Uh-huh.
Or tune in on Wednesday
yeah.
for a mini-sode.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. That's going to be way confusing. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Oh, man. And we can't go delete it because then it wouldn't be like our
authentic.
And it wouldn't be our, what is it called?
Rapport? Our,
like where we do the same thing.
Oh, our routine.
Yeah, there you go. And
I don't think that's a word, but it's close enough.
It's close enough. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would say just go delete all that. But then we wouldn't. It would just.
I know. I was just thinking about that, and then I was like, "That's a lot of work
for something you don't get paid for."
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, guys. Deal with it. But we're gonna have a fun mini-sode, you guys, because we're gonna do something that involves all of the
factions. It's gonna be super cool.
Yeah, we'll let you know what it is.
Yeah.
Come take a listen.
Yeah.
All right. Let's end it.
All right.
With that, Allegiant
went off script.
It went like super duper uber goober blah, off script.
Yeah.
Should we say that?
Maybe we should.
Okay.
Let's try it. I'm going to screw it up.
Okay. And with that, Allegiant
went super duper uber goober off script. You don't know how hard I had to think about that.
I did too. Oh my gosh, right. You guys. All right, we'll see ya.
Bye.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.